Manx Radio's update with Dave Moore.
It's 5:30, you're listening to Manx Radio. I'm Dave Moore and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus Manx Sport, Business, Sea Watch, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person tonight. 55 new cases of COVID-19 in the island, including 9 in hospital, with 1 in intensive care. Coming up, Dandara's plan to demolish the hotel is denied. Taxi drivers say they weren't consulted on COVID-19 changes. Plus, is ivy killing our trees?
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
But first with the news headlines, Faster Mai, Christian Jones.
Faster Mai. 55 new cases of COVID-19 have been recorded on the Isle of Man since the last update. It means there are now 738 active cases on the island. 8 people are in hospital and 1 is in intensive care. The Treasury Minister is admitting it could be some time before the island's benefit system is overhauled. As part of his election manifesto, David Ashford said he wanted to see the current system reviewed and improved on. Families who would normally rely on free school meals will receive vouchers for food over the Christmas holidays if Tynwald gives the go-ahead. Education Minister Julie Edge will ask the court to approve the Christmas holiday food voucher scheme at this month's sitting. In international news, the UK Health Secretary says the new Omicron variant of coronavirus now accounts for 20% of cases in England. Military planning teams are being drafted in across the country to speed up the rollout of booster jabs. A crew member has been found dead after 2 cargo ships crashed in the Baltic Sea. 2 people on board the British-flagged vessel are being questioned on suspicion of negligence. And UEFA's had to rerun the draw for the last 16 of the Champions League after mistakes were made first time around. Eventually, holders Chelsea were paired with Lille, Liverpool drew Inter Milan, Manchester City will play Sporting Lisbon and Manchester United face Atletico Madrid. Manx Radio News, those are your news headlines. Full news at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham. Contact with us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Cloudy and mainly dry with light winds. Small risk of the odd outbreak of light rain at times. Maximum temperature 9 degrees Celsius. Dry overnight with some clear spells developing at times. Minimum temperature near to 4 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow will be dry with variable amounts of cloud and some bright or perhaps sunny spells. Breezy with a fresh to strong southwest wind, top temperatures around 10 degrees Celsius. The outlook, a cloudy and damp start on Wednesday with outbreaks of rain and drizzle, which will gradually clear away during the morning, leaving the afternoon mostly dry with some bright or sunny spells breaking through. The highest temperature on Wednesday should be around 11 degrees Celsius in the moderate to fresh southwesterly wind. Sunrise tomorrow morning is at 8:30, and sunset tomorrow will be at 4:55 in the afternoon.
Manx Glass and Glazing will be closed for Christmas and New Year from the 20th of December, reopening on the 4th of January.
55 new cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in the Isle of Man. Simon Richardson has more.
It means there are now 738 active cases on the island. 22 are said to be pending investigation. There are currently 9 people in hospital who have the virus. 1 person is in intensive care. Meanwhile, 400 people are awaiting notification of their test results, and a further 137 are booked in for tests tomorrow. More than 142,000 tests have been carried out since the pandemic began. Data included on the government's dashboard shows that since mid-February to the present day, the majority of positive cases recorded have been in the 10 to 14 and 15 to 19 years age groups.
Staying with COVID and the government's looking to speed up the number of third vaccinations, Health and Social Care Minister Laurie Hooper says his department's committed to offering booster jabs. At present, they're only available to those over the age of 45, whereas in the UK, it's now on offer to anyone as young as 18.
Last week, Alfred Cannon, the Chief Minister, said that there will be no changes to how Isle of Man is handling COVID management. So in the light of the new announcements from the UK, can you give us an overview of what you intend to do? May as well start with the booster vaccination news for over 18s.
Gal said last week, and I think it's been reconfirmed, I think over the weekend now, we met this morning as a council ministers to talk about any potential changes we would need in terms of how we respond to the changing situation in the UK. And I think that the situation at the moment on the island is such that we don't need to make any big radical changes to what we're doing in terms of the booster rollout. It's probably one area that does fall slightly outside that comment, because in terms of the boosters, we are looking to speed up that as much as possible. So there's a massive piece of work going on right now looking at, well, actually, how do we bring as many people forward as possible? So we're putting calls out for support from staff around government, for example. We're looking at how we can increase the number of vaccinations we're delivering daily to try and get as many people through as possible in light of the UK's announcement. The only thing I would say about the UK announcement is they are committing to offer people a vaccination by the end of the year. That's not the same as actually saying that the vaccines will be in people's arms by the end of the year. And that's consistent with the UK's approach throughout the pandemic, is they've constantly used that kind of language that says we're going to offer you a booster, offer you an appointment, rather than actually committing to having people vaccinated by a particular date. That's quite different to what we try and do on the island, which is to tell people, actually, we'll have you vaccinated by a certain date. And so we're still looking at how soon we can have that. Originally, the target for having people actually vaccinated with the booster was the end of January, start of February. And actually, if we can bring that forward, we're very much trying to do that now to see how much we can bring that one forward.
In terms of the language, doesn't it come down to people's choice? Because unless it's mandatory, which it isn't in the UK or Isle of Man, it comes down to people cooperating and opting to get the booster. Is that right?
What they're saying is they will offer you a vaccine appointment. So you might get a letter today that says your appointment is in January, but that counts as you having been offered an appointment. Whereas what we would say is actually your vaccination there is in January. So the language is where I think this matters. So what we're trying to do on the island is actually deliver vaccines. That's what we've been focused on since day one. Trying to say actually we're going to offer something to someone. It's always a choice. Obviously the vaccination is not mandatory, but in terms of the terminology, difference, like I say, from our perspective, we're very much focusing on jabs in arms as opposed to just when are we giving you the opportunity to book a vaccine.
And the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, is expected to address Timwell tomorrow to discuss further management of the new Omicron variant. Meanwhile, taxi drivers say they weren't consulted about COVID-19 changes, which mean drivers and passengers have to wear face coverings. Local drivers Barry Murphy and Mike Birchall contacted the Man in Line to voice their concerns about the impact the rules are having on the trade.
There has been no consultation with our trade whatsoever. I mean, not even like an inkling of consultation. Nobody knew anything. It kind of came out, and then we were told on the Tuesday there was a mandate of masks on public transport. Now, that to many people might not seem like a huge thing, but it is actually a huge thing, because the problem is it's no longer advisory. It's something now that's backed by law, and it needs to be taken extremely seriously. And of course, there was no links or anything at that time about what the mandate was, what does the regulation mean, what's the fines, what's the punishment, you know, what does it mean? Nobody knew what it means. And in actual fact, actually true to say, in this case, at this moment in time, most people still don't know what any of it means, because there still hasn't been any real consultation.
I feel I should have the right, even if somebody says they're exempt in wearing a mask, and it's the greatest excuse in the book at the moment. Everybody's exempt if they don't want to wear one. You know, where's the proof that you're exempt? But even if they were exempt, I feel that it's still my right to refuse to take them if I don't feel comfortable having them in the taxi. That's personally how I feel. Going forward, there's been a little bit of progress and help for us. We've been working with the police over the last couple of years, and we've got Black Eyed Friday coming up, and over the weekend. There are going to be taxi marshals on the Victoria Street rank this weekend. Douglas Corporation have supported us with that. The police put our case forward, and the taxi marshals are going to ensure that passengers are wearing masks before they get into taxis. That's going forward. So it should be a little bit better in the weekend coming than it has been over the last couple of weekends.
Closing statements have been made in the case against a former house parent at a children's home who's accused of sexually abusing children in his care. 85-year-old Joseph Henry Marshall, standing trial, accused of 9 offences, 6 counts of indecent assault, 2 of gross indecency, and 1 of buggery. Tessa Hawley was at Douglas Courthouse today.
Those offences, the prosecution say, were committed against three boys who were under the age of 16 between 1974 and 1982 at Knotfield in Douglas. Today, on day four of the trial, both the prosecution and defence gave their closing remarks after Acting Deemster Bernard Richmond QC had given the jury legal directions. He reminded them that Mr Marshall does not have to prove anything, and it was for the prosecution to do that. Emotion or sympathy has no place in your decision-making process, he told them. Prosecutor Anne White QC described Knotfield as a place of not much joy, saying it was a different era in the time when the alleged abuse took place. Addressing the point of credibility, she told the jury the witnesses in the case had not led perfect lives, saying their early experiences could have resulted in a skewed compass. This, she said, could make them potentially flawed individuals, but she told jurors those flaws don't mean they're lying. She said Mr. Marshall had treated them like second-class citizens, adding he made them feel like second-class citizens and he abused them with impunity. Closing the defence case, Mr. Marshall's QC, Collingwood Thompson, said there were cracks in the prosecution case and what he described as discrepancies in the complainant's evidence. This, he argued, meant that the evidence put forward by the prosecution was unreliable. Highlighting what he said were inconsistencies with where and when the alleged abuse had taken place, he also criticised the police investigation for oversights that didn't allow the defence to test and assess one of the complainant's evidence. He said Mr. Marshall, however, had been consistent throughout the case. The burden of proof is on the prosecution, not Mr. Marshall, he told the jury, adding the appropriate verdicts are not guilty. Joseph Henry Marshall denies the nine charges against him. The trial is due to continue tomorrow.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio. Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree is due to arrive in Douglas at around 10 to 6 this evening, and then it's a lightning quick turnaround as she departs at 7 o'clock to arrive at 10:45 later tonight. She'll then leave Heysham at 10:45 and arrive back here at 4:30 in the morning with the schedule back to normal. The 8:45 departure tomorrow morning.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The Manx Planning Committee's refused a decision to allow Dandara to convert the Golf Links hotel site into a 40-bed complex along with 40 residential apartments. The application by the house builder was made in 2017. However, the Derby Haven Residents Society has been against it since the beginning. Tim Cullen is from the society.
We thought that, having attended the site visit last week, we were pretty sure that they would vote to reject the application. But I must say, for it actually to happen after all these years is an immense sense of relief. We've worked very, very hard on this. We've got, everybody's a volunteer. I have a full-time job. Other people have full-time jobs, but we've really volunteered a lot and I've depended very heavily on everything I've said on behalf of our society, on people with real expertise on planning issues, on environmental issues, etc. And so we've, you know, it's been an incredible team effort by many, many people, and it really feels very, very good. We would like to see the existing building demolished as soon as possible, because it is actually a very serious health hazard, in fact, because there's a lot of asbestos in the building. Pipes have been ripped from walls by intruders who've trespassed in the building. When I was there a week ago, I saw that one of the very large windows had absolutely no covering on it, and it seemed as if the developers said was, oh, well, it must have been blown out by the wind and they'd get it fixed. But, yesterday I was there, I took a photograph, it had not been fixed. And so that's a real threat to the health of everybody, including our community. So, and we'd just like to see it demolished. We'd like the local authority, which is Mulu Parish Commissioners, to instigate a demolition order. And ideally, it should be returned to nature, and that would make everybody really very happy.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
NatWest has been fined £265 million after admitting it failed to prevent money laundering of nearly £400 million by one firm. A gold trading business suspected of money laundering deposited £700,000 in cash into one NatWest branch in black bin bags, a court heard earlier today. A criminal gang deposited huge sums of money across around 50 branches, prosecutors for the UK's financial watchdog said. NatWest said it deeply regrets failing to monitor the customer properly. The boss of a City of London firm says he's unhappy about new work from home guidance, claiming his staff will get less done when they're not in the office. Employees in England should work remotely if they can from today. Data shows road traffic and footfall on public transport fell sharply compared to a week ago. Andrew Monk of VSA Capital called the rules frustrating and inconsistent, but some workers said they now felt safer as the Omicron variant spread. And self-styled ethical chocolate firm Tony's Chocolonely has apologised for deliberately leaving one of its advent calendar windows empty to highlight inequality in the industry. The company said it was meant to be a great conversation starter for change. However, the firm was inundated with complaints from parents who said their children were upset by the missing chocolate. Now the firm has said it's sorry that its move caused confusion and disappointment.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
Well, UK and European stocks slipped as traders reacted to developments regarding the Omicron COVID variant and looked ahead to monetary policy decisions by some of the world's largest central banks. US stocks traded lower as traders awaited a Federal Reserve monetary policy decision later this week. Oil fell as new doubts emerged about the effectiveness of vaccines against Omicron coronavirus variant, though OPEC predicted in its monthly report that the variant's impact on fuel demand will be mild. Gold steadied in a narrow range as the market focus pivoted to this week's Federal Reserve meeting to learn how quickly it plans to unwind economic support measures introduced in response to the coronavirus pandemic. In corporate news, travel-related names such as International Airlines Group and Rolls-Royce were at the bottom of the pile after the UK government raised its COVID-19 alert level from 3 to 4 at the weekend. Onto the markets. At the close, the FTSE was at 7231. That's down 0.83%. The DAX stood at 15621. That's down 0.01%. The Dow Jones, 35676. That's down 0.83%. The S&P 500, 4677. That's down 0.73%. And the Nasdaq, 15451. Down 1.14%. Exchange rates, the pound against the dollar, 1.323. And against the euro, 1.171. Gold is at $1,788. That's up 0.3%. And Brent, $74.78. That's up 1.01%.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsay Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
Douglas Borough Council's to explore the economic and practical viability of operating an aqua park in Douglas Bay from the summer of 2023. It's essentially a floating play area for children and adults. It's thought the plan's feasible in principle, but requires further investigation in respect of technical issues and to establish a viable business plan. Councillor Falk Horning is the chairman of the Council's Environmental Services Committee.
Well, we've basically looked at different options to make more use of the beach. So currently, we have a big beach with clean water, good access, and along the prom we have cafes and restaurants. And of course, we have the largest population of any areas on the Isle of Man. Despite of that, we mostly use the beach for dog walking, and even in the summer, it's very poorly visited. With the promenade refurbishment now coming to an end, the beach is much more accessible than it used to be in the past. The roads are narrower, so it's much easier to get from one side to the other. And there is also less noise. The vehicle speed limit has been dropped from 30 to 20 miles per hour. We thought it's a really good time to look at different options to make the beach more attractive. And we wanted to create some sort of critical mass that enough people visit the area, which then hopefully might also entice other businesses to come up with additional attractions, like, for example, the paddleboarding that is very popular in Port Erin.
Now, one of the issues, of course, is that if such a facility was created, it would have to be staffed, which I think it was mentioned in council that could, in fact, be funded by money brought in by the actual aqua park itself. But then there's also the issue, of course, of how would it be weather resilient?
So when we talk about an aqua park, it would mostly be like a floating platform area, usable for children and adults. It would be left out in the sea probably for the summer months, but I expected that it would be taken in for the stormy part of the season and be stored away somewhere. So it wouldn't be in like an all year, all weather kind of installation.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Fastamai, William King.
Fastamai. TT lap record holder Peter Hickman will race for FHO Racing at the Isle of Man TT next year as the team makes its road racing debut in 2022. The five-time TT race winner will compete for the team in Superbike and Superstock classes at the international road racing events, including the TT. Hickman has previously ridden for FHO Racing in the British Superbike Championship and last competed at TT for Smiths Racing. FHO Racing, which will be the official BMW road racing team, has also signed TT veteran Brian McCormack for the 2022 campaign. The second round of the Utopia Hair Salon Winter Series English Skeet League was held at the weekend. 26 shooting competitors took part in dull, misty and damp conditions. There were wins for Stan Cross, Peter Kelly and Zach Bellhouse in classes A, B and C respectively. Next week is the pre-Christmas shoot with Skeet Doubles, Double Rise and Pro Sporting being shot over 60 targets sponsored by the club. Full results can be viewed via the Manx Radio website. And kids of all ages have the chance to do a spot of Christmas badminton fun over the festive season. Sue Domingo is putting on three different holiday camps in the run-up to Santa's arrival. The first session is on Monday the 20th from 11:45 a.m. until 5:45 p.m. for children ages 5 and over. A singles competition for kids aged 4 to 12 is taking place on Tuesday the 21st from 11:40 a.m. until 5:45 p.m. And on Wednesday the 22nd of December, a fun games session is being put on especially for those ages 2 and over. They're all taking place at Centre 21 in Douglas, and there's more information at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Just one flight this evening, leaving the island at 6:10, heading to Liverpool and then due to return back here at 8:10. Onto the roads, beginning in Douglas, temporary lights on Glencretchery Road near to police headquarters. There's also lights on Greenfield Road, which is up by the college. Plus a set at the junction of South Quay and the Old Castletown Road as work continues to repair a broken wall. Not too far away at Queen Street and part of North Quay remain closed as the former nuisance building is unsafe while it awaits demolition. Up to Lacty, where Minorca Hill remains closed. Traffic is being diverted along Glen Road, along the TT course and lights near the Highlander for roadworks. Between Glen Helen and Cronkivoddy Crossroads, there's a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit in place with temporary lights at Sulby Bridge. Finally, to Port Erin, where the lights are still in place on the upper promenade.
Massimo Tyres, budget tyres priced to keep your vehicle safe and legal. Only available at Quayside.
When tonight, look to the sky. Ideally, towards the east, and you should see what looks like shooting stars. It'll actually be the Geminid meteor shower, as astronomer Howard Parkin explains.
The Geminid shower peaks every year on and around the 13th of December. And it really is one of the best of the year. There are two showers that are really, really very good. And the Perseids in August and the Geminids in December. And basically what we're looking at is particles of dust and small rocks maybe that are impacting on the Earth's atmosphere and are seen as shooting stars coming from the constellation of Gemini, hence the name.
How does it differ from the one that we see in August?
Well, the Geminid shower obviously peaks every time at the same time of the year. The thing about meteor showers is that they occur in the same part of the sky. It's not anything to do with the constellation Gemini, except the Earth is facing Gemini at that particular moment. So therefore, anything that comes into the upper atmosphere, the stars of Gemini will be in the background. And exactly the same with any other shower. The Perseids, for instance, come from the constellation Perseus. But this year, the moon will cause some interference because it will have been full a few days earlier. But the shower is so prolific that we're very likely to get quite a reasonable display. And hopefully people will get the chance to see them.
So what will we actually be able to see?
The best description is, as it says on the tin, shooting stars. You'll suddenly see a star or a flash of light, which is a star that appears to be moving across the sky. If you trace them all back, they'll come to the radiant point, which is in the constellation of Gemini. But they're very short-lived, and you only see them for literally a second or a fraction of a second, and then they've disappeared. And we need to be looking in the eastern horizon. The eastern horizon, Gemini rises around 11 o'clock at night. So we need to be looking at the eastern horizon, and the Geminids will appear anywhere from the constellation of Gemini. So they could appear overhead, but if you trace them straight back, that's why we look towards the eastern horizon where the constellation is rising from.
And we don't need a telescope to look
at this. No, definitely not. You don't need a telescope, you just need a naked eye and a general look in the easterly direction. So from the Isle of Man, look towards England, towards the Lake District, and preferably around midnight time. They seem to be better around midnight time because, quite frankly, that's when the Earth is facing the direction of travel.
And that's it for our update compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones and producer Chanel Sakou. If you have a comment on the news agenda, have a story you think we should be covering, or just want to say hello from near or far, email update@manxradio.com. The stories you've heard on this update and much more Manx news, plus interviews and podcasts on the web's biggest source of Manx videos, are all at manxradio.com and via the free Manx Radio app. Like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel.